If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with two guests, one of whom is sort of a known quantity on the podcast in that she's been on, I guess, three or four times now. This must be your fourth appearance on the show. And then there's someone else who's new to the show. So I think that the best way to sort of start this off is we're going to be talking about a bunch of new stuff, some new music and some other exciting things. So I think if you want to just introduce yourselves and just give a bit of background about what it is we're talking about here. So I think, Violet, we'll start with you because, again, you're a previous guest. You've been on the show before.
Yes.
So, yeah. Who are you? What do you do? And why are we talking today?
I am Violet Bopney. I'm a local pop, folk, jazz, all kinds of genres artist. And we're back on Witch Police Radio to talk about all the new stuff that I've been doing in the studio.
Cool. And it's been a few years. I think the last time you were on the show was 2022. So it's been a bit, and I'm sure there's lots to catch up on. But we have another guest here today as well. So yeah, if you want to introduce yourself and give some info about what it is you do with this project, that'd be great.
Hi, my name's Nick. I'm a producer at Fat Bat Studios, and I've been helping Violet with her newest album.
Cool. Okay, awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Yeah, Violet, I think the last time, like I said, it's been a couple years since we talked, and I you know, we follow each other on social media. I've seen some of the stuff you've been posting. It looks like you've had some interesting adventures over the past few years in terms of, playing in some unlikely locations and things like that. So do you want to just maybe bring me up to speed and listeners up to speed with what you've been up to sort of since your last music came out, I guess?
Oh, man. Yeah, since 2022, the Imaginations album, when we played at Shannon's, and man, 2022 was such a weird year. That was the year of me having bandmates and them embarrassing me on stage in various ways. Yeah, so now I don't have a band anymore. I just got, at the end of 2022, I got sick and tired of training new band members and
great.
Going through people left, right, and center. Like I think my number of guitarists was 22 before I finally
Holy
gave
crap.
Up. Yeah, I was like, all right, well, I guess my plight in life is I will not have a band. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to do music. So I just found a different way to do it. And then April of 2023, I met Nick and, you know, we got into a conversation and he was hosting karaoke. And so we started talking and he says, oh, I play guitar and bass and drums. Oh, and I mix and I master. And I go, what the fuck? Where have you been? Oh, where have you been? He goes, oh, I'm hiding in soccer. Where everybody hides, right?
Right.
That's how that goes. And so, yeah, so then we started working on the music and it kind of breathed new life into what I was doing. And so gave me a lot more control over what was happening. When I had bandmates before, they were writing all of their own parts,
right?
And kind of, I would come forward with the lyrics and the melody, and then they would decide how the vibe was going to be for the song. Whereas with Nick, I'm doing more of this is the vibe I want. Here are the chords. Oh my God, I wrote chords for all of these songs. I'm telling Nick, I'm clapping out rhythms for him. Like, I want the drums to sound like this. Program the drums like this. And so I've had a lot of fun. He's had a lot of fun yelling at me. It's been great.
So do you... go ahead, Nick.
Oh, yeah. We've definitely been having a blast. And the stuff that she does is entirely different from stuff that I'm used to. So, you know, to have her around, and it's inspired me to, you know, look at music entirely different ways.
Cool. Well, maybe a question for you then is you know, what is it about Violet's music that appeals to you? Because like you said, it's different from what you're sort of used to being involved with. What was the hook for you? What is the sort of appeal for you as kind of the all-purpose band member, I guess, and studio guy and everything else, right?
Well, one of my favorite things is that every time she shows me a new song, I'm like, my first question to her is, okay, so what are you thinking where we're going to go with this? Because I always have an idea in my head. And it's funny, a lot of the times they link up, sometimes they don't, but a lot of the times they link up, and it's just, she just has an interesting perspective on the way she writes melodies and the way she kind of syncopates everything.
Okay.
It's difficult sometimes, but it's always fun, and there's always an interesting product at the end of the day.
Is that...
And he's talking about a song called Human Experience. He's having a very bad day with the beat. He was sitting behind the drums and screaming at me that he can't understand the rhythm. And I'm playing and I'm singing and playing on the piano, which I did a bit of in 2023. I actually did a show at Club Happenings in July last year where it was like an indie emo show, and I did like all my sad music. And then I played some of my new songs, but just with me singing and just with me playing chords on the keyboard, on a tiny keyboard too. I have this like little MPK mini thing that I got that it's kind of like you can attach it to a PA system because it has its own built-in speaker.
Okay.
So you can actually, it's really nicely portable to bring everywhere. So I can bring it and I can, now I can play and sing. I haven't done that before other than like last year. So I grew a lot as a musician. Then because of Nick, I grew as a producer too, because I now can look at Reaper without going crazy.
So were you trying to do this all by yourself sort of in the interim between having all those band members and then where you are now? Like, were you dabbling with producing and recording your own stuff at that point? Nope.
No, not even a little bit. I felt so screwed. To be honest, I felt like, what am I going to do now? Oh no. And then I met Nick, and then my friend Tina would not let me quit music. She told me quite aggressively that she would just show up to my house with a guitar and make me practice things. And I was like, okay. And she goes, I don't play guitar very well. And I go, okay. Okay. She goes, but you're not damn well quitting. And I go, okay. All right, Tina, we're listening to you.
That's good motivation to have, I guess. I'm being forced to continue.
Yeah, exactly. And she's actually doing some harmonies on this album.
Oh, nice.
So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think last time we talked, I know you mentioned sort of right off the top that you have all these genres of music that you're sort of dabbling in. I mean, there's the pop stuff, there's the singer-songwriter stuff, there's the jazz side of things. Where are you now sort of as far as genre? Because I think last time we talked, you were leaning heavily towards pop, right? And you were sort of really going in that direction. And now, based on what you've sort of said about some of the difficulty with the rhythms and things like that in some of your songs, is that the jazz side of you kind of creeping back in?
I wish. I think Nick wishes that too.
Oh, I think a little. It is definitely a little bit of that. Like, I think you might not think it sometimes, but definitely that's where the infection comes from.
Okay.
it's in the roots.
You can't take the jazz out of the girl. I was jazz trained in high school, so you can't take the jazz out of me. But this new album, what do we have? I went to country. Oh no, I didn't intend to. It's just we have a country folk song on this album. We have a pop punk song on the album. We have an EDM song.
Oh wow,
that happened. We have a jazzy blues song that I think we're all obsessed with. That I sent you. That I think you will also be obsessed with.
Right on.
I have I don't even know what to call it. I guess it's an indie pop song. Discriminate would fall under indie pop. Do you think so, Nick?
Yeah, and definitely it's got some singer-songwriter vibes because it's very stripped down, right? It's pretty much just you right in the front.
Pretty much just me, and then more of me in the harmonies, and then some of Tina in the harmonies, and then me on the piano.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. It's very, very stripped down, and I had to. That was the one where I was telling Nick exactly what I wanted on all of the pieces, and then also like just kind of putting it together myself. And so, yeah. Oh.
Well, we joked in one of her songs that she wanted such stripped down percussion that I basically hollered back at her, "What do you want me to do? Hit a chair with a stick?" And then on the record, of course, I hit a chair with a stick because awesome. I could not do it.
Awesome.
You said what you said and you took yourself away. And I shouldn't be wondering if you're okay. You said what you said and you took yourself away. And I shouldn't be wondering if you're okay.
Hitting a chair with a stick aside, it sounds like there is no sort of set genre for this record. It sounds like you're sort of just dabbling in whatever you feel like at the time. Is it sort of the situation you're in now, basically as a solo artist working with a collaborator? Do you feel like more free to do that? Basically just not worry about genre, not worry about sort of what style this fits into, and just doing what you feel?
I don't think I've ever worried about genre,
fair,
to be honest. I mean, the last two albums that I took them off of the internet at the beginning of 2023, and then later on put them back, but in different iterations. So like in different organizations, I suppose, because I started writing music when I was in 1996. I was 11 when I wrote my first song. And so I kind of put together some of the songs that were written between like 1996 and 2016. And then that was a cutoff. And then 2019 to 2022 or so was another cutoff. And then this album, the cutoff is like 2023 to 2024, ultimately.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's just like now it just kind of goes chronologically more so than anything else. That was the best way to work it out. And so whatever songs I wrote in this particular time period, that's what we're doing.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you feel like there's a delineation between each time period? Like, can you hear the progression? Like when you listen back to your stuff, obviously you've heard your own songs a million times, but do you sort of hear how things have changed, how they've grown, how they've, improved, I would hope, sort of over the different sections?
You know what? They've improved from the previous bandmates, there's some stuff that I wrote when I was a teenager that with the bandmates, it came out okay. And then we were kind of, we paid for studio time. So we were kind of on the clock
right. With
it. You know, we were at Studio 23 with Jody. Love Jody. He's amazing. But we only had like 30 hours to record everything. And what we got was what we got.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas with Nick, it's a lot more open because I now have a home studio here at my house and Nick has a basement studio. And so we just kind of like hang out and create stuff every week. And whatever we do is whatever we do. And it's like a couple hours every week, but we're still, it feels like less like we're under the gun to get it done.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I have definitely noticed an improvement in a lot of what's coming out because we have more time to spend on all of it. And then we're also not sending it away to someone else to be mixed and mastered. Like, we're doing a lot of that ourselves. So I can now like listen to it and be like, I hate how that sounds. It's been a lot of times I've been like, I hate my voice. No, we're not doing it that way. Or there's been a lot of times we come back to a song and Nick goes, that's how I play the guitar? No, it isn't. I'm going to do that again. Never mind. So we've had all these opportunities to kind of step away and then come back and listen.
Sure.
And then change things. And you don't get that when you're in, 30 hours in the studio. And then all those stems just get sent to whoever you have mixing and mastering. And you don't get to hear it until something has been put together.
For sure.
Whereas we get to hear everything raw and get to put everything together. So that's...
That's also part of us building these songs on the fly too, right? Because we can create it and then just listen to how it sounds, master it right there because it's easy to do. And then you turn around, you listen to it on 20 different things and you go, as much as that sounds cool, I think I can make a better guitar part.
Sure.
Yeah. And you get a lot of more opportunity. Like Violet said, a lot of time to tweak.
Yeah, it's a nice level of control to have, I think, for your own stuff, for sure. Just the opportunity to go back to it without that time constraint, for sure.
I've really enjoyed that. Although, when I look at like the second album and the songs that I wrote between 2019 to 2023, and some of the songs are still so good. Like they hit so nicely. Truth and Stop, Imaginations, all these songs are still really, really, really good compared to, Sun, Stars, Moon, and Dreaming, which I wrote when I was very young. So
right.
I can see the difference. I can see, the things that have gone on in the songwriting, which is actually funny. I had a bandmate who, while we were kind of sorting out, he was learning the songs. He started just complaining about the songwriting. And probably maybe the third time in a third jam, he complained about songwriting. And I finally said, I'm so sorry that you're upset with 17-year-old me. And he just got all upset. And he was like, I'm not upset with you. And I was like, well, okay. And I learned very quickly that like he's used to being in cover bands where like he's not sitting in the room with the songwriter.
Sure.
And so I was like, I don't know, man. Like your beef is with me. I'm the one who did this. I'm sorry. And I mean, if you want to bitch about anybody, probably not the band leader. Maybe not. So I didn't keep him very long. I was like, you also need to go.
Right, he was, and that's why the lesson, children, is choose your battles.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be right back.
deceiving. You play nice with me and now with my heart. You look so toxic from the start. Try to go low on my phone. You need me locked and loaded low. Not saying that it's all a game, but you've got ill intentions, babe. Danger if it's a change. You need to step up off the fish.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that some of these older songs, they still feel in them. They're still sound good to you. Still sort of fit in what you're doing. What didn't work with the full band situation? I'm not asking you to like shit on any former members or anything, but what was it about sort of that configuration that didn't work for you that now works here? And then the part two to that question is how do these songs work? Maybe the older ones. How are you intending for them to work live without having that band? With you.
I've been making the previous tracks. I just went back to my producer, Ryan McVeigh, and I said, can I have them without Vox?
Oh, cool.
Can I have them with the harmonies and without Vox? And I just said, can I just have backing tracks? And I asked all the previous musicians if they were okay with that. And that was that. Within a 2-year period, so the first I guess band exodus of sorts was actually in September of 2021. And a couple of my bandmates sat me down and said, we have a problem with some of the lyrics that you've written. And I went, oh, that's a hill I will die on. Bye. That was it. And then a year after that, another band member went on a rant about trans people and how he only sees two genders. And I went, oh, both of my children are trans, but thank you. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's not going to fly for him. Yeah.
That's not going to fly in any way, shape, or form with me. So, okay, bye. And then I did try to work with some other people after that, but it just wasn't clicking. And honestly, having worked with those people for 2 years and during the pandemic, and I created so much music, I also recorded so much music with them. To be honest, they broke my heart in the same way that anybody I've dated has broken my heart.
Sure.
It was hard to let them go, and it was hard to move on after that. So, really grateful that I found Nick, because for a while there, I was like, there's a reason Tino was showing up at my house with a guitar, because I was upset about everything and feeling very betrayed by people who I thought were better people. The good thing and the good news is that I can tell you both of the people who have left my band have, in fact, worked on themselves and are no longer that kind of problem that they were
good
at the time. So, you know, it is what it is. But they've reformed, as it were.
Well, that's, I mean, it's maybe a bit late for, it would have been nice, I guess, for you to have that to happen while you were still in the band with them, but it's good to hear. So then how does this work live? Have you figured this out yet? I mean, because it's just you, and I mean, well, there's two of you, but, you know, you're sort of the focal point as it's under your name, your songs, right? I mean, how do you intend on performing these live?
Well, backing tracks. You know, rappers do it, sure. And people in hip hop do it. You know what? I've even seen touring bands do it. You know, there was a band, Helix, all the way from, oh God, I cannot remember where they're from, overseas, I want to say. And one of their members couldn't come with them, so they just had backing tracks and his stuff, and they just played around it. I've seen The Fixer from Thunder Bay, and they have backing tracks to their stuff as well that they play too. So it's becoming more common to have that.
I think the Milli Vanilli stigma is gone, I think, from not that you're lip syncing, yeah. but that whole idea of of backing tracks being like just a taboo, right? And I think people are more accepting for sure these days.
Definitely. And I mean, me and Tina did a number of gigs together last year where we were playing to backing tracks of my old band, Hellfreya.
Okay.
And that's because the guys from Hellfreya, I mean, the guitarist is now traveling in the UK and India. He's all over the place now and just never home. And so we just played at his tracks, played at what he did. He came to a gig last year. That was so nice. I didn't expect to see Keith again. Shows up at a gig. At the end of the gig, he goes, man, I played that guitar so well.
That's awesome. I feel like I saw a video, it must have been, I don't know how long, 6 months ago or something, of you singing in some bizarre country that I would not have expected someone from Winnipeg to be singing. What is the story there? Where were you and what were you doing?
So me and Tina went to Dubai.
Yes, right, Dubai, okay, yeah.
Tina's husband is a para archer, so he was competing with Team Canada
at the FASA
tournament in Dubai. And so he competes a lot. He actually just got back from Brazil for another competition. And so I was like, well, you get to go all these international places. How about I just go with you? She was like, yeah, let's do this. So we booked our trip to Dubai. And then I was thinking to myself, open mics exist everywhere. Wouldn't it just be cool? We can go sing on stages internationally. We don't have to like plan tours or we don't have to. We can just drop in and sing wherever we want to sing. Because we have backing tracks and they fit on a tablet in my purse. So like, we're good, you know? And yeah, so that's what we did. And then the organizers of that open mic night decided that because we were the tourists from Canada that have signed up, they gave us like 5 songs. Nice. They were like, we'll give you extra time. We'll give you like a whole 20-minute set. We're like, yeah.
That's really cool.
We're in.
My favorite part about that is I got to say I played in Dubai and I was sitting on my couch the whole time.
It's awesome.
Well, it's also because you're afraid to fly to Dubai, so that's...
This is very true, yes. I'm not flying to Dubai.
Well, I bet it's a long flight, too.
12 hours?
Jeez, yeah.
Oh, paid a dime and only farted. Next time might take a chance, save my diamond, shit my pants. Here I sit now broken hearted, paid a dime and only farted. Next time might take a chance, save my diamond, shit my pants.
How was it received there? I mean, how does your music translate to a completely different country like that? I mean, not that it's hyper-local or anything, but what was the reaction like?
The reaction was really fantastic. We had one guy at the front of the stage who was just giving us a dirty look the whole time, but everybody else was kind of bopping along to it and singing with us. They all knew English anyway, so it was fine. And then after the set, the only reason that we had to leave the bar is because they still let you smoke out there.
Okay.
In bars. And so me and Tina were like, oh no, we don't inhale smoke like that anymore. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
So we handed out a bunch of business cards to people, and I had a bunch of people follow me on Instagram.
Cool.
And a bunch of people message me even afterwards asking, when are you coming back to Dubai? I was like, I don't know when.
Tuesday, I go every Tuesday.
Next time you can tag along with a friend or something. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I'm like, I don't know, anytime I have a lot of other countries I gotta hit here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what is, I mean, you have these new songs that you've obviously been working on, both of you. When is this coming out? When is it going to be released sort of for everyone to hear?
We're hoping to have it done in October. We're hoping for November, beginning of November release is the plan.
Is it a full length?
And then, yeah, it's going to be 9 songs. We had to, there's also another 5 songs that we're working on for a secret Hellfreya EP that's going to come out next year too. And so we've been talking to Keith about that. Yeah, so.
Well, I think for people who don't know Hellfreya, that's a completely different side of what you do. I mean, I think that people hearing your solo stuff and hearing that might be sort of surprised that you have that kind of versatility, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But I go where I want to go with music, and I just don't care. It's just, it's music, and so I do all of it. It's fun.
For sure. So, I was going to say, the good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, at which point your album is still sort of in the future, or they could hear it a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever. I'm going to be doing this show until I die, probably. So, it's going to exist on the internet for a long time, right? So, someone hears this, they stumble upon it 2 years from now. You could have a bunch more records out. You could be doing a lot more shows. What's the best way to find out what you're up to as far as releases, shows, things like that?
Instagram is going to be where I'm releasing most of it. Instagram and or Facebook. You know, it's still alive.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody goes to. I don't know if anybody goes to Facebook pages anymore. I feel like everybody sees stuff on Instagram, and then they might follow an event page on Facebook, and that's
right.
about it.
Right.
So the event page will be up on Facebook.
Those will still exist, yeah.
But all of the information will also be up. And me and Nick are going on tour this summer.
Cool.
We're doing an open mic tour across Western Canada for 3 weeks in July. And so that was like the easiest thing to book. I was like, where are the open mics? Where can I be? I'm going to drop in and sing some music. Yay.
So what does that look like with the two of you then? Like, what are you going to be doing at those open mics, Nick?
Oh, I have I play as well, so I'll do some covers, do some of my original songs.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll maybe do a song or two with Violet.
Okay, so it's not the two of you touring strictly on this stuff. It's you doing your own things as well. Okay, got it. Yeah, cool. Well,
yeah, Nick has a band called Dysfunctional.
Okay, cool. Well, where can people hear that? Maybe it's a good opportunity for you to plug your band.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're on Facebook right now. That's our only place at the moment, but we're looking to expand to all the other social medias. But yeah, you can find us there at Dysfunctional. That's Dysfunctional. And then also my stuff is Fat Bat Studios, and that's on everything right now too. So
cool. I like how you just after Violet talking shit about Facebook, you come on and like, oh yeah, the only place we have it is Facebook.
Hey, I'm an old man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm on Facebook still. It is what it is.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm on it too. I get it. Violet, your stuff, the previous records, are those still out there for people to check out, or are they are they out in the ether for people to, if they want to find them?
If they want to find my stuff on Spotify and Apple and all the things, yeah, they're out there. It just, all the album names have changed and all the song titles have changed. I made my song titles a lot more clickbait a few days ago because I realized I could. So now the songs, instead of being called Across the Pond, they're now called like That Secret That Only You Know. Instead of Sun, Stars, Moon, the song is now called I Wish I Could Scream.
Okay.
These are actual lyrics that I sing in these songs. So I thought, well, these are a little bit better than what I might have put out there before, and they might be better for people to click on, more curiosity.
Cool. And then are you going to be releasing any singles or anything leading up to the record, or is it all going to come out sort of in one big
thing? I did release a single. I released a single in November last year called Multidimensional Dumpster Phoenix.
Right. That actually sounds familiar. I think I remember seeing the title and being confused, yeah, but also intrigued.
Yes, I've sent you that song now, so
right on.
It'll be in this episode.
It will be, yeah, right on. Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're still plugging away at this, because it's got to suck having so many lineup changes with your band, and I can see how that would be totally discouraging and then demoralizing, especially right after a global pandemic and everything else happening.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's nice to hear that you found a way to sort of rejuvenate this project you have.
Yeah, and I mean, there were so many options. And if in Winnipeg, if you want to play loud music or you want to play country music, you have everywhere to go. And yet, you know, if you want to play pop music, there's not a whole huge community of pop people out here. So,
well, maybe. But one more question then about that is what is your plan for where are you going to find your pop people? I mean, well, you know, once the album's released, once you're hopefully doing more shows and things like that, sort of what's the strategy to find that audience and that scene within Winnipeg?
Good question. I don't have a lot of answers, but I did recently go to a Good and Plenty Producers Club meeting. They were doing a showcase.
Yeah.
And I met a few people there that are also kind of in the same vein and working on their own stuff. So there are a few, and it's growing. And so we might be a little underground, but we're out there. Yay.
It's always weird to think of pop as being underground, because pop seems like such a huge genre, but I know what you mean for Winnipeg, for sure.
It is weird that in Winnipeg, death metal is not underground, but the pop music is.
Yes.
Hey, we like punchy stuff and we like drinky stuff here, okay? I'm sorry. It is what it is.
I think it's true. I think that's why punk rock and country and bluegrass and all this stuff. Yeah, definitely. If you can get drunk and fight while you're listening to it, it's going to go over well.
Yep.
Yeah, or if you can just be at a show where like the guy is just screaming into the mic. The death metal vibe, man, those fans come out
definitely
crazy
for sure.
Those shows are always so packed.